Basil Rathbone inviting you to join me beyond the green door. Today's story is about a man trying to escape the sleepy, drifting death that came from beyond the green door. The snow car skidded, hung for a moment on the lip of a precipice, and then plunged into the depths below. Death struck as suddenly as that. And Philip Bain, thrown miraculously clear, was the only survivor of five men crossing the Yukon in winter. Now he had to walk to Elk City, across 200 miles of snow in a temperature of 20 degrees below zero. He knew that he was doomed. He had food, water, matches, and warm clothing. But in all the great white expanse of land, there was no wood for a fire. And without fire, he couldn't stop or camp or rest. No clothing would hold out the razor-edged wind from the Arctic, the freezing wind that lulled a man to sleep while it froze him to death. To stay alive, Bain had to keep on walking. And how long could he walk without sleep? By the third day, Bain could feel the end in sight. He moved on stiff legs, his beard coated with ice crystals, his feet like chunks of lead, his eyelids drooping with the need for sleep. There was nothing he wanted but to lie down and take a little nap, from which he would never awaken. He thought it was an hallucination when he saw a cabin ahead of him, but when he reached it, the door opened. A burly, cheerful man helped him inside, stirred up the fire, and put a can of soup on the stove. "You're lucky you found this place," the man said. "My name's Jim, and you can't imagine how glad I am to see another human face. I've prospected alone here ever since my partner Shorty died." Bain pushed away filmy cobwebs of sleep and asked how Shorty had died. "Well," Jim said, "I got angry one day and I killed him. He wouldn't believe I'd seen goblins from Mars. And he laughed when I told him about the underground machine that's always watching me. He didn't believe me, so I killed him." "But you believe me, don't you?" Bain could see that the man was insane and a killer. Warned by Shorty's fate, he quickly nodded his agreement. "I'm glad," Jim said, "because otherwise I'd have to do terrible things to you like I did to Shorty. But since you believe me, it's all right. I'll tell you all about the Martian goblins and the underground machine, and in the spring you can go to Elk City and tell the people the truth." "I'll do that," Bain said. He would have to live an entire winter with this madman. And if he watched himself, well, he'd come out alive. Black waves of sleep were washing over him, but he forced his eyes open and heard Jim say, "I'm going to explain about the goblins right now, so pay attention and don't go acting like Eddie Bird." "Oh, who was he?" Bain asked, driving his nails into his hand to stay awake. "He was my partner before Shorty," Jim said. "He said he believed me, and then, while I was explaining, he fell asleep." "Now, that wasn't right, was it?" I guess not," Bain said. "It was too bad," Jim said thoughtfully, "but I can't stand people who go to sleep while I'm talking." Outside, the snow was falling. Inside, Jim began to tell about the goblins from Mars.